This past week, the Biden administration announced a relaxing of policies regarding Cuba. While on the surface, this change in U.S.-Cuba relations sounds like it would help the people of Cuba, is it in fact a reward for a country which has long been and continues to be a negative and dangerous influence in the world? The story, by the way, also has a New Jersey connection with it, which that's existed now for quite a few decades. With us now to explore the reality of all this is the founder of Cuba Decide, Rosa Maria Paya. Thank you so much for being here today, Rosa.
Thank you for having me.
CubaDecide.org. Find out more about the work of Cuba Decide and Rosa Maria's efforts in raising awareness, presenting the truth versus, well, this is a big myth, Rosa, because a lot of people say Cuba has been under an embargo for decades now, going back to the early 60s. They're kind of overlooking the fact that Russia's been a strong financial pipeline for Cuba for all those years, so they really have not faced too many consequences other than what the U.S. has directly put into place, albeit now there's going to be a lifting, a partial lifting at least, of things like travel to see family, the amount of money you can send to family in Cuba. Is this, give us the state of the interior of Cuba, the government, the conditions, the economy, because it sounds like this could be a greater reward for the Cuban government than it can be for the Cuban people.
It is. It is. And the demonstration of that was actually a tweet sent by the Foreign Affairs Ministry of the Cuban dictatorship, saying that this was a small step in the right direction, which is actually a way to humiliate the administration, because it's embarrassing for President Biden to be congratulated by the worst dictatorship of this hemisphere. The situation in the island is very, very dear. The Cuban people is facing the most terrible repression while we talk. I mean, the Cuban regime is applying a state terrorism against the Cuban people. And when I use the word terrorism, I'm doing it with full conscience. It's the violence applied with the goal of infunding panic, of spreading panic. And that's what the Cuban regime is doing in practice and in law. Just 24 hours before these announcements were made by the State Department, the Cuban regime approved a set of laws that basically a threat with death penalty to anyone in Cuba that dares to speak their minds and to try to change the system towards democracy in the island. While we talk, there are more than 1,200 political prisoners in Cuba. That's more than all the political prisoners of the continent added. And the answer of this administration in this moment of maximum pressure over the Cuban population is actually I don't know how to explain it. It's collaborating with the demands of the Cuban regime, because each of the announcements that have been made are part of the agenda of the Cuban regime. They could be some of them, as for instance the reunification program for families. That could have a beneficial impact for the Cuban people. We all agree with that. But the reality is that the guilty, the responsible for the separation of the Cuban families is the Cuban regime, not the government of the United States.
And this just isn't a storyline that involves the U.S. and Cuba. It's a triangle, at least in this hemisphere, because it sounds like, to varying degrees, Mexico was saying to the U.S., well, for example, the upcoming Summit of the Americas that the U.S. is hosting next month, Mexico wants Cuba to be there.
Well, that's another embarrassment for the Biden administration. The fact that this announcement seems like a submission to the pressure of the dictatorships and the best allies of the dictatorships that right now are Mexico and Bolivia. But there is another element in all this, and is that the Cuban regime and the Nicaraguan regime, in a coordinated operation, have been perpetrating and provoking the largest migration crisis in 30 years. I'll explain myself. In the last 6 months, since Nicaragua suddenly removed visa restrictions for the Cuban people, at least 120,000 Cubans have crossed by the southern border of the United States. In what it is, an aggression to the national security of this country. And what we are seeing now is that the reaction of the administration, instead of supporting the demands of the Cuban people, is collaborating once again with the demands of the Cuban regime. And I want to be very clear here. The Cuban people was in the street since last summer, asking for freedom, demanding change in system. Hundreds of them are now in prison just for the fact that they were in the streets chanting freedom. And the demand was freedom, not remittance. Was freedom, not the end of the embargo. Because for the Cuban people, it's very clear who is the responsible. The responsible is the dictatorship. And that dictatorship has nothing to do in the summit of the Americas. But not just because it's only obvious that a dictatorship cannot be in a meeting of democracies, but also because it's a violation of the rules of the Organization of American States. It's a violation of the Inter-American Democratic Letter that was supported by United States, so that the only thought that this administration would dare to invite the Cuban regime to the summit of the Americas is an insult for the Cuban people. And I will leave with a last element that is very important in this moment, and is that the Cuban regime has been the best ally of the Putin regime since months before the war started. Actually, the Russian regime has threatened with sending Russian troops to the island if the talks with the NATO group fail. They actually have threatened with a second Cuban missile crisis. And I'm talking about the deputy prime minister of Russia. I'm talking about the foreign affairs minister of Russia, saying all this about the threatening of the strategic and military relation with the Cuban regime. And the Cuban regime has been spreading the lies of Russia, has been spreading the fake news and the fake narrative of the Russian regime. So if we are talking about isolating Putin, we should also talk about sanction the criminals that in this part of the Atlantic are supporting the Cuban regime. And those criminals live in Havana. And now they are happy because the administration is relaxing instead of sanctioning those that are in power in my country.
And certainly, you know, old ties die hard, as Rosemaria just explained, too, with the Russia-Cuba connection wrapping up her time. With Rosa Maria Paya, who is the founder of Cuba Decide, cubadecide.org, on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Mentioned in the intro, too, Rosa, there's a New Jersey tie into all this, because since 1979, Cuba has given sanctuary to Joanne Chesimard, who shot and killed New Jersey State Trooper Werner Forster back in 1973, and she's been enjoying, well, whatever life of leisure, I guess, is possible in a country like Cuba, but there's been really no attempt to address this situation on Cuba's part.
That's absolutely correct. And Joanne Chesimard, terrorist, is protected by the Cuban regime. And not only Joanne Chesimard, also terrorists from Colombia, actually the ones responsible for the last attack on Bogota that killed over 20 persons in January in 2019, they are also refuged in my country. The Cuban dictatorship is a sanctuary for terrorists around the world. It's a sanctuary for Joanne Chesimard also. for North American terrorists, and that's why the name of the Cuban dictatorship should remain in the list of countries that sponsor terrorism. And that's one of the things that the regime is trying to change to.
And when you see a door open like this with a lightening or an easing of restrictions, we've seen in the past all too often politically that door becomes more and more open. And in this case, it's rewarding a very, as the, I guess the diplomatic term goes, bad actor as far as the world is concerned. Learn more about the work of Cuba Decide at cubadecide.org. We've been joined by their founder, Rosa Maria Paya. Rosa, thank you so much because you help people understand that what sounds like something that will help people, it's really going to be helping an enemy of the U.S. and further harming the people with who hold a great culture and a great pride in freedom. And hopefully one day that freedom and opportunity and liberty will come about. But until then, the fight will be fought well by organizations such as yours. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.